I'm very thankful to be here this morning. Other than a reunion in, I believe it was 1986, this is the first Missouri reunion I have attended in 10 years. We had chosen to leave this area and go to Oklahoma. For my work and to be with our brothers and sisters in the Oklahoma City area. I have a special love for the Missouri reunion. At the age of 24, after being acquainted with this church for some 3 years, and setting in the sanctuary that was on this land, I was setting over in an area about halfway back in the church. And I heard our sister this morning say that I guess older people recite testimonies. This is a testimony that I have. I was privileged to sit back in about the middle of the church, and I was a member of the reorganized church at that time. But I had loved the Church of Christ because I had seen the Spirit of God that was manifest in it. God had privileged me with the ability to determine whether His Spirit was present or not. And the first time I entered the basement of the East Local, because we were meeting in the basement at that time, the top floor had not been built. The first time I had entered the basement, I felt the Spirit of God there in great abundance. And through the ministry of some that have passed on now, I started to love the Church of Christ. And then sitting back about halfway back in the church one Sunday morning at sacrament service, the Lord seemed fit to show me I say it's a vision. I was raised up above the congregation, and I was able to look out and see each one that was sitting there. And I saw a string run from one person to the other until it encompassed the whole congregation. This string ran from heart to heart, and it was a network, a maze, a netting. And I was told at that time that this was the pure love of Christ, and this is where I belonged. I couldn't wait for the service to end because I knew of a brother that I wanted to talk to, my brother Archie Bell. I knew that I had to become a member of the true Church of Christ. And I knew the way that I should come in. Oh, being a member of the reorganized church and the minister that had baptized me was ordained long before the 1927 era. I knew, though, to become a member of the Church of Christ, I needed to enter in by the waters of baptism. And I asked Brother Bell to baptize me. And I've seen some wonderful things in the Church of Christ. I've seen some changes that has distressed me. But I've seen, and I continue to see, this network of love that runs from heart to heart, which we're told in the Scriptures, and I was told was the pure love of Christ. And I would like to take and just read for a minute, if I can find it. Well, it slips me right now. But, in essence, it talks about love, it talks about charity, and it talks about the pure love of Christ. And I was privileged a couple weeks ago to visit in the homes of a couple of our sisters. Another brother and myself decided that we were going to go out on Thursday nights and start visiting. And we went to the first sister and walked in, and we just sat there and visited for a while. And you could see the absolute love that this sister had for the gospel of Christ. And we went to another sister, and thank you. And she started rehearsing all the things that she had seen in the number of years that she had been in the Church of Christ. She was brought up, she was born in the Church of Christ, and the testimonies that came from her and the wonderful spirit that she carried about her caused my brother and I to sit there for over 2 hours and just listen. Because this woman truly loved Christ. And this is what's important in your life and in mine today, is that we truly, with all of our hearts, love Jesus Christ. The other night, we had a prayer and testimony service on Wednesday evening. And I was going to bear this testimony that what I seen in the hearts of our sisters. Because I saw in a hymn that we sang, and it's hymn number 205. And by the way, this is, I think, my favorite hymn. If I were to have to choose a hymn, I think that this would be my favorite hymn in the entire number of hymns that we have. And hymn number 205 is He Lives. And it says, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And brothers and sisters, I can tell you with a surety that our Savior is in this world today. I know that He's living, whatever men may say. And I know within my hearts, and I know within your heart, that you believe that Jesus Christ lives. I see His hand of mercy. And you know something? If I hadn't, in the past 10 years, if I hadn't had Jesus Christ in my life, I would probably be lost because we went through some very distressing times. But I thank God that He showed me the Church of Christ, and I thank God that He allowed me to see the love that's within it. I hear His voice of cheer. And boy, every time I've been down, the voice of Jesus Christ has come and cheered me up. And just the time I need Him, He's always there. And I can remember kneeling in prayer and having asked, and all of a sudden, all my cares and all my troubles and all the burdens that I was carrying was eased. And I can even remember once, in a very distressing time, when I just thought of a prayer. Just the simple act of thinking, God, I need help. And all of a sudden, that spirit of peace, that love that passes understanding, that wonderful spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ comes down upon you and flows over you, and you're able to resist things. You're able to have comfort when you see loved ones that are hurting, or you've lost loved ones. He's always there. He's always near to each and every one that loves Him. And then it goes into a chorus. And towards the end of the chorus it says, "You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart." And this is something that I saw within the people that had gathered that Missouri reunion back in 1968. I saw that the love of Jesus Christ lived within their hearts. So therefore, Jesus Christ was living. My brother found the scripture that I was looking for. And it's on page 768 in the New Book of Mormon. And it says, "And if a man be lowly, meek and lowly in heart, and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, and hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, you're nothing. For charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail. But charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whosoever is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them." And this is what I hope for each and every individual here, and all of our brothers and sisters that scattered throughout this land and in foreign lands. I hope that we would all be found to possess charity at the last day. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of your heart that ye be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are followers of his Son Jesus Christ, that ye may become sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. And that is part of the scriptures that I was wanting to read this morning, only it was coming out, the scriptures that I had chosen was coming out of the book of Philippians. This is a letter that Paul wrote unto the church. And I'm going to start with the second chapter, and I'm going to read a few verses. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And this is what I would like to think upon this morning, is let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And my brothers and sisters, this morning we can become obedient unto death. But it's the death of sin. We can, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can enter into a covenant that we can be made pure and be dead to sin, that we might enter in when our Lord would come. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at that name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven and the things of earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father. Can you, in your heart, this morning confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always observed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. These are the things that we need to center our minds upon. We need to become like-minded with Christ. We're told in the Ephesian letter, in the fourth chapter, that we are not to grieve. This is the 30th verse. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How many times has it been that one has offended us in some minor way, and all of a sudden it's blown out of proportion? And we've become at odds with one another. This is not the way Christ would work. This is not the mind of Christ, that he would want to injure someone. And we're told in the Book of Mormon, and I believe that it's in the second chapter of Mosiah. And I guess this is a reading that I go to very often, because I think it has very good instructions for us. And I'm going to begin on page 220. Now, this is in the older version of the Book of Mormon. It's the second chapter of Mosiah. And I would like to start with the 18th verse. And again, I say unto you, as I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge and the glory of God, or if ye have known of his goodness and have tasted of his love, and have received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your soul, even so I would that ye would remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness, and his goodness and long-suffering toward you unworthy creatures. And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you, that if ye do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins, and ye shall grow in the knowledge and glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And ye will not have a mind to injure one another, but will live peaceably, and to render every man according to that which is his due. And this is a part that really is my favorite. And ye will not suffer your little children that they should go hungry or naked, neither will ye suffer that they should transgress the laws of God. We're to teach our little children. We're to teach our young people the laws of God. And fight, neither will ye suffer that they, let's back up a second. Neither will ye suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel with one another and serve the devil, who is the master of sin, or who is the evil spirit which has been spoken by our fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness. But ye will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. Ye will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. While I was living in Ava, I had an opportunity to go to the Amish communities and to treat the Amish families. And one day while I was in the Amish community, visiting with a family, they had 19 children. And we were talking after I had treated them, and they were telling about how their father would punish them. And I found it very interesting. He said that, or the boys said that they used to fight and quarrel with one another, and said their father, when he saw them fighting and quarreling with one another, that he would make them stand face to face and kiss each other until they weren't mad anymore. And the young man said, he says, "You know something?" He says, "It worked." He said, "We didn't fight and quarrel with one another very often because we knew we would have to stand face to face and kiss each other until we weren't mad anymore." And sometimes I think that is what is needed in the world today, is that when we have a tendency to have problems with a brother or a sister, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we ought to have to stand face to face and kiss one another till we weren't angry anymore. I think that would be the way the Lord would see it, that rather than fighting and quarreling with one another, that we should love one another. Well, I've got away from some of the things that I wanted to bring to you this morning. But, you know, in the Ephesian letter, it also says that he set forth in his church some offices. And it says in the fourth chapter of Ephesians in the 11th verse, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith." And you know what the unity of the faith is? That's being able to work together for the cause of Christ. Even if we do have our differences, even if we do have problems with one another, it's told to us that we are to get along with one another for the body's sake, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Now, I feel it's very difficult for us to become a perfect man. But if it wasn't possible, he would not have had it written in his scriptures. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. And this is how we are to measure ourselves. We're to measure ourselves against the perfectness of Christ. And I can tell you right now, I don't measure up. I wish I did. But hopefully through the love that you all have shown me, and the love that I've seen in the Church of Christ, that we can do this. I would like to also read a little bit out of Galatians. And I'd like to go to the 6th chapter and read verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit and meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are to bear one another's burdens. And this means when one hurts, we all hurt. And when one's happy, we're all happy. And I would like to skip down to the 10th verse. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Unto all men. Especially. Or it could be expressly. Unto them who are of the household of faith. Let's go over into the fifth chapter and read a little bit. I'm going to start with the 14th verse. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he goes on to explain a little bit. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let the mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ. Let your heart be filled with his love. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and these should not be found among the children of Christ: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I also tell you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruits of the Spirit, and these are to be found among the people of the Church of Christ and among all those that take upon them the name of Christ. But the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And you know there's a saying within the world today, he talks a good talk, but he doesn't walk a good walk. And you know, this is, unless we do this, we're struggling against a world that can overcome us. We not only need to let the mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus, but we need to let him into our hearts. We need a 17-inch drop from the head to the heart. And when his Spirit fills our entire heart, it will fill our entire being. And we will then truly be the children of God. the true Church of Christ, which I seen in it as a testimony of the truthfulness of this church. My brothers and sisters, my time has passed, but I would like to leave you with a thought, and that is that working together as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can attain that Zion which our brother spoke of this morning. We can attain that hope which is in Jesus Christ. If we try to work alone and if we separate ourselves out and we become burdened down with the cares of this life, our work is much more difficult. I would invite you, each one, as we go through this reunion, to express that network of love that I seen years ago in a congregation just like this. My thanks to God is that He has allowed me to come back to this area and allowed me to once again resume the association that I had with the people around here. And I thank God daily for each one of you, because you give me strength, and it's only through the strength of the body that we can hope to exist. So my prayers are with you, and I do truly love you.
Thank you, Brother Larry. I have a few announcements to make before we close. Right before the service, I was informed that our sister Velma has truly received a blessing, and she was resting comfortably and is even going to try to be here later this afternoon. But let's continue to keep our sister Velma in your prayers. Let's just don't let it drop. The young people will meet at Hope Day Gym this evening at 5:30 p.m. for fun and fellowship. Please bring $2. The young people will eat at the temple lot before leaving. Bring a snack to the gym. Those who are interested in receiving a copy of the 1993 Camp Teen Challenge video must sign up for it on the sign-up sheet in the back. The release date and price have not been set, but will be announced as soon as they are known. If you have any questions, ask Harvey at 252-9918. Also, the Phoenix Quartet has replacement tapes available for Standing on the Promises. So if you have purchased either of these tapes and they're bad, see Chris Mosier for your replacement. There'll be a noon meal served right after this service, and during the closing prayer, I will ask, I'll ask the blessing on the food. You have a question, Joel? Let's hear your statement, Joel. See, Joel, if you're missing anything, any of the young people. There'll be a song service this afternoon at 2:30 p.m. and a sermon by Evangelist Flacio at 3 p.m. And the evening meal will be at 5 p.m. and the evening services, song service at 6:30 p.m. and a sermon by Elder Michael Hitt at 7 p.m. Also, the Missouri Reunion Committee will meet during the lunch break, that's today, at noon. The pastor or representative from each local is requested to be present, as well as the officers. Is this during the meal or after the meal? during the meal. So, in the conference room. So bring your meal to the conference room, those Missouri Reunion Committee members. Let's see, I already read that. The junior young people ages 7 through 12 will have an organized activity under the directions of Sister Manon Lawrence and Debbie Vogel Saturday afternoon after the preaching service at the Hope Day School Gym. And voluntary cleanup crews will be working in the building each evening after the last service of the day. Please assist them by removing your personal belongings from the building and vacating the premises. We are asking for volunteers to help clean the building. Thank you. I had my turn last night. I don't have to volunteer anymore. Number 361 for our closing. 361. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this hour that we have spent with you, and we thank you so much for the message of the hour. We pray that each one of us will take this message to our hearts, that it may strengthen us, and that it may help us that we may come closer unto you. And Father, help us that we may have courage to fight that fight, that we may carry on your message, and that we may continue to do those things that are pleasing in your sight. Father, now we ask a blessing upon the food that has been prepared for us this morning. And we ask a blessing also upon the hands who have prepared it. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that this food will be used for the strength of our bodies, that we may carry on that fight that you have given us to fight. O Heavenly Father, now we ask your dismissal, and we ask that you be with us until our next meeting, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.